our hearts to you again.
Amen.
We do need you this morning.
Yes.
We do desire your speaking.
Amen.
Have mercy on us.
Amen.
Cleanse us with your precious blood.
Amen.
That we could have your anointing.
Amen.
Anoint our ears and anoint your word.
Right.
We pray in your precious name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Last week, our brother mentioned children, sons, and heirs. So I feel I would just like to make the connection with heirs.
Yeah.
But my real burden is on the love of God. I was so touched that most of the hymns this morning were on the love of God.
Amen.
So I believe many of us have been touched, especially by the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But even more so, we who were enemies of God, we who were sinners, not only to be children, even to be sons and to be heirs, not to inherit the fortune, that would be terrible, but to inherit God Himself.
Amen.
So we'll try and go as fast as possible on that first part so we get to the matter of love. So we start with Romans 8:17. In Romans 8:17, and if children, heirs also. Heirs also on the one hand, heirs of God on the other, joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Talks about suffering. I don't think we like that. But we will find that suffering is necessary not only to be an heir, but even to be a son. In order to grow, we have to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son.
Amen.
And that does not come easy. It requires that we be molded. You know, like you mold a cake? So that requires the fire, requires a lot of things. So let us not draw back from suffering, because if we do, then we'll just remain as babies. So this is the condition for us to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So actually, the more suffering we pass through, the more glory we will get in the next time. So we thank the Lord for such a love. We would like to be glorified, but we don't like to suffer. But we need the suffering for being glorified. Then in verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the coming glory to be revealed upon us. So here it tells us very clearly that our sufferings are nothing compared with the glory that we will have in the next age. Then we come to Romans 8:26. In Romans 8:26, moreover, in like manner, the Spirit also joins in to help us in our weakness. For we do not know for what we should pray as is fitting, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So here we see that the Spirit actually helps us. But the Spirit helps us with groanings. Why is that? In the past, I was puzzled until I realized one thing. Concerning material things, concerning riches, concerning our job, concerning our schooling, concerning all the earthly things. No problem. We know what to pray. But you tell me, do you know how you can grow in the Lord? How you can grow in the life of the Lord? I had a realization that this is why the Spirit groans, and this is why we groan ourselves. We want to grow. How do you grow? Yes, you will go through sufferings, but you can't ask for the sufferings. You don't want the sufferings. They will come anyway. So that's why the Spirit prays for us in a way that is unutterable. It joins with us in our groaning. So we have in this portion of the word children, sons, and heirs. So the life of God works in these three stages. Actually, first of all, regenerated in our spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Our spirit is already part of the new creation. Transformed in our soul. And one day, transfigured in our body. This together gave us full sonship. As a result of these three steps, the sons are fully matured. Well, these three stages represent regeneration, transformation, and glorification. And they correspond to the three stages of God's salvation. The first stage, justification, produces children. The second stage, sanctification, produces sons. And the third stage, glorification, results in the transfiguration of our body and produces legal heirs of the divine inheritance. We go back again to verse 17. If children, heirs, also, in this verse, we see the children cannot be legal heirs. Really. In order to become legal heirs, the children must grow into sons and the sons must grow into heirs. When we have reached this stage of growth, we shall be glorified. The growth of any kind in life depends upon hardship and suffering. We mentioned that already. Then we go back to verse 26. Here we have the sympathizing spirit, the interceding of the spirit. For what purpose do we have this? The purpose is found in verses 28 to 30. So that we could be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. That's why we go through many things. Because we had this as our destiny. We'll come to that in a minute. So this is the purpose of God's calling. In verse 28, And we know that connects with the previous verses, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We already mentioned what God's purpose is. In verse 29, because those whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. This is very important, very crucial. Actually, before we were born, before the world was even created, according to Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, God chose us. God selected us. And as it mentions here, God predestinated us for what? To be conformed. So not only we have regeneration, transformation, we also have confirmation. And you know, I was touched the other day, I mentioned it on Friday. When I go to the hospital, I go regularly, there's this big tank with a bunch of fishes. And the fishes sometimes go very fast, other times they go slow. That is their destiny. They have nothing else to do. But they don't fight among each other. They're not upset. I was touched. Okay, so those are just fish. What about us? One day, we will be in the New Jerusalem. Do we feel that? Do we have the sense we're here? Yes, we have to do a good job while we're here, but we're not meant for here. Right? First Peter tells us that our commonwealth is in the heavens. Colossians 3 tells us, 1 to 4, that we need to consider what's in the heavens. Amen. We need to think on those things. Do we? I must say, I don't. I was really convicted. If we start realizing what our future is, I believe that our life would be lifted up, would be higher. So this is the point here. And of course, the firstborn son is a proper type, prototype, and we are the mass production. Why? Because God wants a corporate expression, not just an individual expression. And for that, he needs to have the many sons of the firstborn. So, we thank the Lord for this. Amen. Then, actually, the many sons of God are for the kingdom of God. And the many brothers are for the church, which today is the kingdom of God. So we need to realize this is God's purpose. God's purpose for us. This is why we were created in the first place. And of course, growth comes from inward nourishment, right? The little kids are nourished and then they grow. But the inner nourishment needs the coordination of the outward world. So actually, this is really something that we see in Romans 8, 28 and 29. which tells us, those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. But verse 28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for good. In the prior verses, we found out we don't know how to pray for us to grow in life. But here we do know that all things work together for good. That is the Bible. This is the Word of God. So we have to believe it. But of course, it's not good according to our feeling. But we need to forget our feeling. Why? Because God is a God of purpose. God is a God of detail. Every little detail in our life is arranged by God. He's sovereign. Actually, he knows how we can grow. He knows what's the best way for us to grow. And so we shouldn't say, what happened? How come? Lord, why do I get this? Well, the answer is in Romans 8:28, that we wouldn't forget this. Actually, I'll be quite honest. When I heard I had cancer, this was what made me steady, realizing we are on the Lord's hand. It's all arranged by our precious Lord, arranged by our precious Father, so that we could grow. So he knows what situation is the best. Actually, when we come down to it, everything in our life was arranged by the Lord. Did you arrange who your parents would be? Did you arrange what your face looks like? Nothing concerning us in our beginning was arranged by us. It was all arranged by God for our growth. Then that brings us to 1 Peter 1, 2. First Peter 1, 2 says, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. This is an extremely interesting verse. You say, why? Because it tells us that God chose us according to his foreknowledge, as we mentioned, before the earth was created. But it also says, in the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I think we all say, well, such and such a date, such and such a situation, I received the Lord. I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Nonsense. The Spirit sanctified you before the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. How wonderful. Even before we're saved, the Spirit already was after us. This is really precious. This is really wonderful that we have such sanctification before we are redeemed. Then that brings us to verse 3, 1 Peter verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has regenerated us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here we see that it's all because of God's great mercy. And his great mercy is because he loves us. and he has regenerated us unto a living hope. Unto here means resulting in. Our being regenerated results in the living hope. So not only we have a hope, but we have a living hope. In verses 2 and 3, we have the following sequence: choosing, sanctifying, redeeming, and regenerating. And that brings us to verse 4. Unto an inheritance, incorruptible, and undefiled, and unfading, kept in the heavens for you. Finally, we get to the main point: an inheritance. And this means that the living hope in verse 3 is the inheritance in verse 4. And this inheritance comprises the coming salvation of our soul, as well as the grace to be received at the unveiling of the Lord in verse 13, the glory to be revealed in chapter 5, verse 1, the unfading crown of glory in chapter 5, verse 4, the eternal glory, chapter 5, verse 10. All these are related to the divine life which we received when we were regenerated. So this inheritance is the full possession, actually, of what was promised to Abraham. Amen. We receive the full blessing from Abraham. Now, this verse says that the inheritance is kept in the heavens for us. But, although it says is kept in the heavens for us, today, when we are in spirit, we can enjoy a first fruit of that inheritance. This inheritance is not merely for the future, but also for today. The inheritance is for today. Well, we better go to the second part. Time is flying. So we come back to Romans. Romans chapter 8, 35. To 39, about the love of God. In Romans 8, 35 and 36, in 35 and 36, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We have been accounted as sheep for slaughter. That doesn't sound very good. But look at the next verse. But in all these things, we more than conquer through him who loved us. The Lord Jesus loves us. The Lord Jesus became a victor at the cross, and we also can be a victor because he loves us. So we have this contrast. Verse 36 speaks of suffering, but 37 speaks of victory, being victorious. But the most wonderful thing is, once the Lord loves us, he loves us forever. And nothing can separate us from him. Okay, what is God's love? God's love is God's heart. Love is the heart of God. God's love issues from his heart. What was in God's heart originally? Love. He loved us from the very beginning. Love was a fountain. Love was a root. Love was the source of all. God loves us before he predestinated us. So it has nothing to do with what we are like. He loved us because he wanted to love us. As a sovereign God, he chose us and he loved us. And all we can do is praise him that he loves us in such a wonderful way. So love was the source of God's eternal salvation. And Paul was persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's very important that it's in Christ Jesus. If it was just the love of God, we just lose our temper and the love of God is gone. But it's in Christ Jesus, which assures us that nothing can separate us from his love. This is wonderful. Now we come to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. Here it says, first verse 19, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. He loved us and he infused his love in us, and we love him with his love, not our love. Our love doesn't last very long. We don't really have much love. So this is the important part about verse 19. And then verse 20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So it's very clear. And verse 21 makes it even more clear. This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. So here we have, you might say, the first requirement, the first response on our part to God's love. First, we need to love God, of course. But second, we need to love the brothers and sisters. If we don't love the brothers and sisters, means we're not loving God either. Because God loves the church. Now I'm going to cover a number of points concerning love. On some of them I will read the verse, and we have the verse up there. On others, I will just mention the reference so that we can save some time. To love the Lord with the first love. And of course, the first love we know is the best love. In Luke 15, when the prodigal son came back, the father told the servants to get the best robe. The Greek word there for best is also the same word as here. So the first love is the best love. In other words, we need to love the Lord above everything. We need to love the Lord over anything and everything. If our love for the Lord is not as great as our love for anything else, that is not the first love. So let us read Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, concerning the Lord Jesus. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he himself might have the first place in all things. So here is another requirement of our response to God's love for us. He has to have the first place. This is very clear. Doesn't need any analysis. It just says it must be this way. He must have the preeminence. He must be first. Then we can love the Lord with the best, the first love. Okay, so we need to consider our situation. Is the Lord first in our living? Or is something else first? He needs to be first. Not only in big things, but even in small things. You know, you'd be surprised, but when on the Lord's Day I'm coming to the meeting, I ask the Lord, is this tie okay? Sometimes the Lord says, too jazzy, so I have to change. But it's so precious, so intimate, so sweet that we ask him how we should dress ourselves. Normally, we don't think about that. So this is another requirement that we check with him concerning not only the big things, but also the small things. So he has to be the first one in all things. I must testify that I love the Lord. I received the Lord 66 years ago, in 1948, in my last year of high school. Of course, at that time, I loved the Lord, but of course now I love him much more because I have experienced him. But still, deep within, I have the realization I should love him even more. So we really need to pray, oh Lord Jesus, I love you. Then there's a feeling within us that we really love him. This is the way we should wake up in the morning, not say, oh no, time to get up. Amen. Then, the beginning of love in everyone towards the Lord is a vision of his person. Actually, if we have fellowship with the Lord during the day, we get to experience the Lord. As we experience the Lord, we get to enjoy the Lord. As we enjoy the Lord, we appreciate him more, then our love for him grows. But if the Lord is living his life and we're living our own life, well, we won't grow in the love of the Lord. But we must be those who overcome the loss of the first love. We have this in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Actually, if you read from the beginning of the chapter, you will realize the church in Ephesus was a special church. It wasn't just any old church. They really were in good order. They really had much works, much labor, in verse 2, much endurance. They cannot bear evil men. Tried those who call themselves apostles and are not, found them to be false. Have endurance, have borne all things because of my name, and have not grown weary. My goodness. That's better than me. I'm better than several of us probably. But I have one thing against you. Just one thing. That you have left your first love. Then immediately comes the requirement. Remember therefore where you have fallen from, and repent, and do the first works. So, if we do not love the Lord with the best love, we just need to come back to Him and love Him. He is the only one we should love with the best first love. So we need to overcome the loss of the first love if we have lost it. Then to love the Lord with the first love is to have a personal, affectionate, private, and spiritual relationship with the Lord. We see this in Song of Songs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The Lord is not only loving, but He's also affectionate. He is full of affection. Actually, this doesn't sound right, but it's very precious. God has fallen in love with us. And because He loves us, there are so many things that we don't go through because He takes care of us. Amen. So we need to fall in love with Him. Okay, we all have a morning watch. Do you have a morning watch for 5 minutes? That means your relationship with the Lord has a problem. We need to realize we need to spend more time with the Lord. So we need to have a day by day of morning revival to fellowship with God. Then to love the Lord with the first love is to live a life of prayer. We see this in 2 Timothy 2:1. Paul tells Timothy, I exhort you therefore, first of all. Please notice, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Whatever we're going to do, there's a first of all. Whatever we're going to say, there's a first of all. We need to get into the habit of praying before we do things. We need to see this need. Also, we need to treasure, to love, to muse on God's word. And for that we have Matthew 4:4, the answer of the Lord Jesus to Satan But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God." How precious that we have the Bible. Do we appreciate it? We need to appreciate it even more, that the Bible could really be such a light to us and also enliven us. In Psalm 119, there's a number of wonderful verses also. So we need to overcome the loss of the first love. Amen. Then second, we need to eat the Lord. And actually, in Revelation, still in chapter 2, when it's talking about Ephesus, in verse 7, it says, "To him who overcomes, to him I will give to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God." Of course, the paradise of God here is the paradise in the New Jerusalem. It's the paradise on the God's kingdom. But also the church, if we really enjoy the word, the church can be a paradise to us. But if we don't enjoy the word, you may not say it, but the church is not so pleasant. The church is not so special. So we need to really enjoy the word. And then, to love the Lord with the first love, to be governed, is to be governed by the direct, first-hand presence of the Lord. We have these verses in Exodus 33, where Moses told God, "If you don't go with us, we don't want to go. We need your presence." Exodus 33, 11, 14 to 16. Then to love the Lord with the first love is to love the church in the church loving Christ. Amen. Right? Ephesians 5, 25. Since he loved the church and in Acts, is it Acts 20, I think? Paul says that Christ shed his blood for the church. Then, to love the Lord with the first love is to live and walk by the Spirit. We have mentioned about the Spirit before, but surely if we are led by the Spirit, we are sons of God. And we'll have more on the Spirit next week. Then to love the Lord with the first love is to have the Lord as the fountain of living waters. We have this in John chapter 4. And then to love the Lord with the first love, the first place in all things, to eat him as a tree of life. So, as we mentioned already in Revelation 2, 7, to love the Lord with the first love is to continually come to him, to contact him, take him, receive him, taste him, and enjoy him. You can't do that in 5 minutes. So, as I speak to you, I speak to myself too. We need to have a longer morning watch. To love the Lord with the first love, to give him the first place in all things is to aspire and determine to gain the honor of pleasing him in all things. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Finally, to love the Lord with the first love is to ask for the counsel of the Lord in every detail of our Christian life and work. See this in Philippians 4:6-7. So, this is the love of God.
Amen.
And this is our response to the love of God.